I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut. After an almost nine-month hiatus, we're relaunching The Storyline podcast. We'll continue to have conversations with the journalists that cover southeastern Connecticut and talk to the community impacted by our stories. We're also excited to talk about Curious CT, which is a relatively new feature on theday.com, where we ask our readers to tell us what they want to know about the people, places, and issues in southeastern Connecticut. We collect questions submitted by our readers, we select themes and create voting rounds where readers can vote on their favorite submitted question, and then we assign a reporter to investigate the question with the most votes at the end of the voting round. The premise is simple. You ask, you vote, we investigate. This week, we talked to reporter Erica Moser about her Curious CT story, focusing on the breakdown of school budgets in Connecticut. The story resulted from a question submitted by Lyme resident Jim Miller. Tell me about the Curious CT story that you're currently reporting on. Who submitted it, and what have you found so far?
So for our latest Curious CT round, we decided to do a round of questions about education. And part of that stemmed from we had put a Curious CT voting widget in a story I wrote about the school regionalization proposals in the legislature, which drew a lot of unhappy parents. It had a ton of negative feedback. And so we got some questions based on that story, and we'd already had some education questions before that. The question that won was from Jim Miller, who is a Lyme resident with three kids. And the question he asked was, I would like to know how current levels of school spending break down between facilities, teachers, admin, and special ed programs for each existing school district. So that is a big question, right? A lot to tackle, and he recognized that. And I think that's part of what makes Curious CT so interesting is that when you deal with such a broad, wide-ranging data question like that, it's not something necessarily any reporters will think to ask because we're so often looking at a lot of specifics of the budget of this town or the budget of that town, this proposal, that proposal. So this was really a good opportunity for us to step back and look at the whole picture of spending.
Not the whole state. We're looking at our coverage area, southeastern Connecticut.
Yes, we're looking at our coverage area, southeastern Connecticut. So that would be East Lyme, Region 18, which is Lyme Old Lyme, Montville, Waterford, Preston, Norwich, Groton, New London, Stonington, North Stonington, and Ledyard.
Still a lot.
Still a lot.
Yeah, a lot of data.
And so the first thing I did was I reached out to all of our town reporters. And the difficult thing that we ran into here is that towns do their school budgets very differently. So some of this information, when I put together this list, I was just drawing from Groton as an example, since I used to cover Groton schools. And so I picked out a few things I wanted to know, like central office salary, superintendent salary, principal salaries, different types of facilities spending. And then as a comparison point, we wanted enrollment for the district. I also asked for special ed tuitions, special education transportation, special ed supplies. There's a lot in there.
Yeah. So we ultimately wanted to be able to compare per pupil spending for these different categories.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that still remains tricky because you have some districts like with Salem has just one school, Salem School, and then Salem sends its high school students to East Lyme High School. And then you have Norwich and Preston are two districts as well that do not have their own high school. The kids get sent to Norwich Free Academy, but yet Norwich enrollment is overall a lot larger than Preston and Salem enrollment, obviously. So it is a bit tough to compare apples to apples on some of these factors, but we did get some of the information there. After the town reporters had reached out to their respective school districts, I sent an email to Jim Miller, who was the question asker, and realized from that email that there were some more concerns he had about, when he said facilities, he meant, you know, school construction projects. And so we had a follow-up phone call with him when we talked a bit more about why he asked the question he did and what he hoped to learn.
Well, my name is Jim Miller. I live in Lyme, and I have a consulting practice. School regionalization is obviously a big topic these days. And at least in the first couple of bills that were introduced, the rationale for the regionalization was saving overhead costs on the superintendents of all the multiple school districts. And it seemed to me like that was a very, very small piece of the total school expenditures, and that wasn't the real reason for the legislation. But nevertheless, I think if it's a thing that should be considered, it ought to be considered thoughtfully with appropriate facts. And those facts are scattered all over the state and difficult to find. Well, I have three kids in public school, and I'm a taxpayer, so I have all kinds of interests in it. You know, just walking into Old Lyme High School, I would say that is a very nice building in comparison to where any place I went to public school or I grew up on Long Island. It seems to me like we're over-investing in buildings. You know, I went to an elementary school that was built in 1909, expanded in 1918, and, you know, it was still a perfectly functional school building many, many years later. I think a more important focus is on having really engaging, qualified teachers in the classroom with the kids. And I have a suspicion, with no backup data, that if you were to compare a timeline over the last 30 or 40 years, you would find that the two largest areas of educational growth, expenses growth, would be in administrators and in physical facilities. And I'm really not sure whether those priorities make any sense or not. Said, I understand that this would be a massive project to undertake, and hopefully you can figure out a way with your resources to, you know, get to at least some comparable statistics that help people understand where the money goes in the education system and what ways there might be to get better results for the students.
As I was reporting this story, I ended up down a lot of rabbit holes where I would read one study and then I would look at all of their references and their citations and be like, oh, I want to go read that study as well. And I'd go read another study and I'd go on different websites full of data.
And you documented all this in a Google Doc that you shared with me, and I try to keep up.
Yes.
As best I can.
It's still growing. I think I'm up to 35 pages now of notes, both from numbers and some takeaways and also the interviews I've done. So I've talked to a few superintendents. I talked to some people from the Connecticut School Finance Project. And a few takeaways I'd say here, because in this data, I was looking at not just district by district, but comparing Connecticut to other states, just so we could see how we're faring. The average teacher salary in Connecticut is higher than in most states. And the sense I got from talking to someone from the Connecticut School Finance Project was that a lot of that is just a function of Connecticut having a high cost of living in general, you know, and that leads to high labor costs overall. So you end up with higher salaries. And it's the same throughout. Other states in the Northeast tend to have higher teacher salaries as well. The cost per square foot for school construction is higher in Connecticut, not as high as Massachusetts or New York, but higher in Connecticut than most other states in the country. But that's something at least that there's been in recent years been more effort in the General Assembly and from former Governor Dan Malloy going forward to try and have more regulations, more procedures in place so that of what districts need to submit. And there's also now a cap, I believe, $365 per square foot for what is reimbursable school construction from the state. Connecticut schools do get a lot more reimbursement from the state overall than in other states. You know, most other states, it's more funded by the local districts.
And so how about, generally speaking, the amount spent per pupil? Where does Connecticut stand among the other states?
Connecticut is very high in cost per pupil spending. And again, similar logic we're talking when we're looking at teacher salaries. If you're looking at the idea that cost of living here is high, you're going to have other things higher as well. So I believe Connecticut is top five, also up. New York is at the very top of per pupil spending. Right. Also up there is New Jersey.
We're also looking at how that correlates with some of the school rankings, right, that some organizations do of schools throughout the state. Connecticut does rank pretty high in most of those lists. Is that right?
I decided to look up a few lists from different sources of how they rank the best states for K-12 public education. Education Week has their list from January of this year, and they have Connecticut at number 4 after Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New Hampshire. Forbes has Connecticut at number 3 after Massachusetts and New Jersey, and then right before New Hampshire. That was from July of last year. Interestingly, from May of last year, U.S. News and World Report has Connecticut at 14. So I do not know why that is much lower, but for all intents and purposes here, I'll be using Education Week for comparison.
And as far as the individual districts in our region, how do they rank as far as per pupil spending compared to other districts in the state?
Yes. So overall, southeastern Connecticut is, I would say, lower in terms of per pupil spending. The biggest exception there would be Region 18. That's Lyme Old Lyme. So just to go through some 2017-18 school year stats, as I mentioned, Lyme Old Lyme was among the highest in our region, 21,589 in per pupil spending. And that gives the Lyme Old Lyme a ranking of 23rd. Highest in the state per pupil spending. And then on the lower end of that, you have Ledyard, and they, for last school year, their per pupil spending was $14,634, which gave them a ranking of 153. One thing I will say is interesting, we did get from the state data that shows the past 5 school years broken down per pupil spending for each district. So you can see that for each of the past 5 school years. And for each year, you can also see each district's rank. So for almost every district in our region, the ranking overall went up over the past 5 years. Some of it, for some districts, the ranking went up every single year. So that indicates that other districts in Connecticut are increasing their per pupil spending faster than the ones in southeastern Connecticut.
Let's talk about Curious CT and your how the experience has been working. Maybe a little bit closer with a reader than we usually would. What's the experience been like for you?
I've loved Curious CT, and we've heard some really good feedback on it. And I will admit that I think it's one of those things that was a bit of a tough sell, just even internally in the newsroom when we first started, because you have a lot of reporters thinking, you know, I keep being asked to do more and more and more. And when someone adds in a new project, sometimes it can be a little daunting at first, thinking, oh, now we have to do that. But really, this is just such a good encapsulation of kind of the number one thing we should all be doing in journalism every day, which is listening to our readers and figuring out what they care about. So I don't view this as any sort of detraction or time spent from what we would be doing, but rather honing in even better on what we should be doing and what journalism is.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We asked reader Jim Miller for his thoughts on Curious CT.
I think it's great. I mean, you know, it's hard to sit there in a building in New London and figure out what people might be interested in. And I think the way that you did it with the, you know, posting some questions and letting the readers vote was a very creative way of selecting which question to answer. It encourages readership participation, and it makes people feel invested in your journalism. So I think it's terrific.
If you'd like more information on Curious CT, please visit theday.com/CuriousCT and follow us on Twitter at @TheCuriousCT. Also, please remember to rate and review our podcast on Apple, as that helps us reach more people.